FCUM Radio, FC and Community United.
Hi, I'm Nicola. Today, very thankful, we've got Christy Sperling come to speak to us from Engage, a charity in Withenshaw, Benshill. Hi, Christy.
Hiya.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and speaking to us today.
It's a pleasure.
Would you like to tell us what it is you do here?
Yeah, so we're basically a registered charity. We've been going for 6 years, and we work with young people who are at risk of being excluded, either from education or kind of causing problems out in the wider society. So we've got programmes that we run in school, working with young people who are often disengaged with their education and not that keen on being in school, have various issues going on outside of school as well.
So teenagers?
Yeah, teenagers, sort of anyone up from sort of year 4 or 5 in a primary school up to sort of year 10 in a secondary school.
Brilliant. So whereabouts are you in Withenshaw?
We're based at top floor of Benshill Community Centre.
So. Is that Holyhead Road?
Yeah, it's just off Holyhead Road, yeah. It's on Benshill Road actually. So
Benshill
it's
Road.
Yeah, it's just next to Benshill Primary School.
Is most of your work actually in the school or outside of it?
There's two sort of main areas that we're working in. We've got our educational side, which is going into schools and working with young people at risk of being excluded. And then we've got a youth truck that we've converted into like a mobile youth centre, and that goes out most nights of the week into areas of South Manchester and North Manchester. It's got like PlayStations and games and stuff on it. It's just somewhere where young people can come and sit and kind of relax, chat to our staff and keep them out of trouble.
Like a mobile youth centre?
Yeah, it's just basically a mobile youth centre on wheels.
So what about funding? How do you get that functioning?
Some of our funding comes from the City Council. Some of it comes from people who just donate to us. There's people who kind of just personally like the work that we're doing, so they give an amount each month towards what we're doing. And then we do fundraising events. So for example, I've jumped out of a plane a couple of times to raise funds for the charity. We have people doing sort of marathons for us and that kind of thing. And then we also occasionally get grants from sort of donors, sort of trusts and grants, that kind of thing.
What kind of kids, how are the kids directed to? Are they signposted?
Okay.
Or do they come voluntarily?
So in school, all young people are referred to us by someone who's normally in charge of behaviour or attendance or sort of young people's attitude. On the outside, when we're doing stuff with our vehicles, we just go out and people just tend to find out we're out and about. We've got a real thing at the moment where we'll take our vehicles to the same place with the same staff every night, so that young people kind of are expecting us and they know that we're going to be out there. I think quite often youth work can be quite patchy, and it can kind of be a bit hit and miss, and sometimes you do something then you move it. And so we've got a real focus on same people in the same area on the same night, so that young people know that we're going to be there for them.
So developing a relationship, yeah.
What activities do you do?
Well, on the PlayStation, on the youth bus, it's got a couple of PlayStations, I think it's got an Xbox or something like that as well.
Yeah.
So that's normally used to kind of just, obviously it's quite a draw for young people to go and do that. Obviously, yeah. In the evenings it's cold outside and often wet, so it's somewhere sort of warm and safe for them to come. There's other like little sort of handheld games that we've got for them as well, and activities. Quite often they just want to come and chat to our staff and just sort of be around our staff and we find out how their lives are doing and what the challenges are.
And I suppose if they've got any problems, they can be directed to the right places from your staff.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a policy where if someone comes with a certain specific problem, then we'll always try and, if we can't help them, we'll try and pass them on to an agency that can.
That's fantastic. What about your success rate? Any success stories?
We work in some quite tougher areas, on some quite tough estates. Often some of the guys, not all, but some of the guys that we're working with, the sorts of people who might get involved in antisocial behaviour, kind of lower level crime and that kind of thing. Another aspect of our work is that we do community action projects. So we might say to a group of young people on your estate, is there an area where you think there's lots of litter or it needs a bit of gardening doing or something? And then what we do is we get the young people to do some kind of a project. They'll do a project, and then off the back of that project we'll then take them on some kind of reward or something like that. We also, with the guys that we're working with in the evenings, we do week-long activity weeks, so we just take on a week of day trips. So we could be normally try and do something outdoor, like taking them to Crocky Trail or kind of go out type places, stuff that physically challenges them. And again, that's often just putting our staff with these guys for a week so they've got some positive role models and giving them a chance to experience new stuff, trying to take them out of Manchester because a lot of young people don't actually travel that far out of Manchester anymore, and also just trying to give them new experiences.
There's quite a few organisations, I think, in Bench Hill. Do you go out of your way to really link up with them?
We're part of something called Within Shore Youth Alliance. I'm very open to working with any agencies. I mean, the police are quite a key partner and know what we're doing and support what we do. And obviously, we're funded by the City Council, which is obviously a big organisation. I have absolutely no issues with working with anyone who kind of can either help us to further our aims or support what we're doing.
What happens to the kids when they get to, say, like 16, school leaving age? Yeah. Are they left or do you have like a backup plan?
In the detached stuff, we'll work with them up to sort of 18. And then they tend to kind of either grow up a bit and sort of obviously we've got jobs and stuff that I go off and do sort of normal teenage, older teenage type things. But we never kind of say you can't come on because you're too old. And in terms of kind of moving them on, we've got something called the Young Leaders Programme, which is where they actually take a bit of responsibility. So we get them involved in doing some kind of a activity, whether it be a fundraising event or get them to do a specific piece of work. And we work with them for a few weeks and get them to actually take ownership of doing a project. And that's normally done with some of the older ones.
And if any of the kids sort of came to you and said, I'd like to go in the army, yeah, or I'd like to become a teacher or whatever, would you have the resources to point them in the right direction?
Yeah. Generally, what we'd do in that situation is we would ask them to kind of speak to school about what the school can offer in terms of that kind of thing. We don't give out huge amounts of careers advice because I think they get a lot of that from connections and people like that, but we would certainly, if someone came to me and said, I want to do this, I'll make it my job to find out how to kind of refer them onto something.
I bet the parents are very pleased in the area because it's not really much for the children these days, is there?
No, we all know there's not much money. There's been a huge amount of cuts across the country to youth services. I do feel that young people quite often get quite a raw deal in terms, yeah, of what's provided for them. It's quite a simple thing, getting a truck and turning it into a bit of a youth centre. Yeah. And it's fairly cost effective. I mean, it costs a lot to keep it on the road and that kind of thing, but it's a lot cheaper than having a building. It's a lot cheaper than... I think the thing for me, I can find statistics on how much it costs to put a young person in prison for a year, and for the, roughly the same amount of money you get all the work that we're doing. And I think it's around about £45,000 a year to put a young person in a young offenders institute. And for that, that'd buy us three or four yeah, vehicles and staff it for probably 2-3 years. So it's I think parents seem to appreciate what we do, and we do get feedback, and we do get people saying that the young people have changed as a result of what we're doing. And we certainly get a lot of feedback.
Very positive. And how many children are you working with?
Hundreds in a year, over the years. In the 6 years that we've been working in schools, we've worked with over 600 pupils. And that's quite intensive because most of the schools that we're working by is in for a whole year. So we go to the same school on the same day, same classroom, and we'll just work with different groups of young people. So, around about 600 over the years.
Just touching on something you touched on before, I get the impression as an outsider that you don't have as many youth clubs as you used to do. Is this a thing that's been happening over the recent years, that there's a movement towards different forms of dealings with the young people?
I think youth provision traditionally has probably had a lot of money spent on it before we found ourselves in the times we're in now. And I don't think it was always checked up with what the outcomes were and how much value for money there was. And I think youth work doesn't always have to be really expensive. And sometimes for me, youth work is just about actually having a relationship with young people and putting someone, a member of staff, in front of a young person and chatting to them, just engaging with them. And I think, like I've said, in kind of highlighting our vehicle, it's quite, I know it sounds like a really grand thing to do, but it's quite a simple thing, really. There's a guy who's actually done it and gone out and bought it and kitted it out and that kind of thing. It's taken a bit of effort. But actually, when you look at it and you see it on the street and you see people engaging with it, it's actually quite a simple thing. It's just literally turn up in a truck, open the doors, turn the generator on, kids come in and chat to us. And I think that I'm a fan of that kind of youth work because it's just direct and it can be moved around. And if you go to one area for 6 months and then suddenly all the young people decide that they've got going off to, they might be old enough to go to the pub or, go wherever they're going, you just take the truck and move to another area. And I don't think you can do that with youth services and with sort of youth centres. But to sort of answer the last bit of your question, I just think there's less money. I think that city councils aren't prioritising necessarily centres, and I think they're looking for other people to provide it at the moment. I know in Manchester the strategy is very much giving the money to people like us to go and deliver the work frontline.
Rather than building youth centres.
Building youth centres and that kind of thing. And I think that was because there was a lot of money spent on it in the past, and it isn't there anymore.
Do you think it is just money, or do you think it's a matter of attitude as well?
I think it's a combination of both, if I'm honest. I think how society views young people isn't always positive. And I think that people's perception of what young people are going to go on and achieve sometimes can be the thing that stops them actually going on and achieving things. And I think we've lived in times when there was plenty, and there were, lots of money and lots of resources and that kind of thing. And I'm the first person to admit that you can't have that forever, and it's changed. But I do think it's about priorities. And it's about thinking, if we don't provide for these young people, what are they going to be turning up, what are they going to be going on to, what are they going to be doing?
Have you noticed a difference in the crime rates in the areas? Is there any kind of record?
Definitely around here, we've been told that we've helped contribute towards reducing crime in some of the areas where there were problems. Been told that by the police in the past.
On the educational side then, how successful is that?
We've got sort of feedback, comments about what we do in schools, and a lot of young people that we're working with in schools, they're at a stage where they're kind of thinking, I'm going to give up on this education, I'm not interested. So we have a success rate of getting them back in on track. The sessions that we deliver in terms of the small group work, we look at things like prison. We do a 10-week programme called Elevate, and we look at like prison, drugs, racism, crime, citizenship, law and order, getting a job. We just go through them. So we do like 10 two-hour sessions with them. It's really interactive, get them really thinking about what they want to do with their lives, how their life could pan out if they carry on not performing in school. I probably should have said this at the beginning, my personal background is I was excluded from school at the age of 14 and sent to like a residential unit for naughty boys, basically. And so I experienced firsthand what it's like to be kind of excluded from school, and also the challenges that meant I had in later life when I couldn't get jobs and that kind of thing. And that was what kind of drove me to set the charity up as well. I like the idea of going in and doing something in the school before someone gets kicked out, rather than actually having a building in the centre and saying, once you've been excluded, we'll come and, come to our building and we'll do all this work with you. It feels like that's a bit kind of after, getting before it happens. So go into the schools, be visible, be seen. In quite a lot of the schools that we're working in, I've been going in for a while, so staff know me. Obviously, because we're going in for a whole year, you can work with lots of different young people. If challenges come up or issues come up that we want to deal with, we can write sessions on it. So it's a very deliberate way. You can either wait till they get kicked out and then try and do something, by which time it's normally a bit too late, or you can go in and try and catch them before it all happens. So that's the thinking behind that.
Well, it must be very rewarding, actually, knowing that maybe you've kept a kid from who was thinking, I'm going to finish this, and then stays on.
I'm not going to lie, it's an amazing job. I love what I do. It's kind of, if you cut me in half, Engage runs through me, because I've kind of lived it and breathed it and set it up. It has its challenges, but it's also very rewarding. And I think for me, the passion is the young people. That's why we do it. And all the issues that you encounter and all the problems that you have and all the things that you have to deal with, it's worth it, because I think Manchester's young people are worth it.
So what's your plans for the future?
Okay. We have this 3-year document that we work. It's basically a strategic plan, and it's like what we'd like to try and achieve, where we're heading, and then what we see as being priorities for the future. So that just finished sort of earlier on in the year, so we've just written a new one, and it's kind of looking at what we're trying to do over the next 3 years. In my opinion, I don't know if this is going to be practical to do it or not, but I feel like what we're doing is working, and I think it's really successful. So the question I'm starting to ask myself is, could you do it in another area? Could you take it to another part of the city? Could you take it to another city? So I guess working forward over the next 2 to 3 years, I'd like to see about whether we could be sort of expanding the work we're doing. In terms of our educational stuff, I'd like to see us in a lot more schools, doing lots more different programmes that maybe use different. A lot of what we do at the moment in schools is very creative, so we use like laptops to get young people to make music and that kind of thing. Maybe thinking about other things like sport. And I think another area for us to think about is, we hear a lot about these NEETs, so these young people who are not in education, employment or training. I mean, that's like a huge priority at the moment, because all the problems associated with someone not doing anything in the daytime and the vulnerabilities to crime and sort of relying on the state and all that kind of stuff, they're all the issues that NEETs, not always, but that's one of the things that I can generate, and it is a huge cost to society. And I think it's something that they're trying to work through, so that's something that we got as a bit of an end goal as well. Essentially, if we could do more of what we're doing and expand it and see us impacting loads more young people, that would be the dream.
Brilliant. Thank you. so much.
Thank you for having me.
FCUM Radio, FC and Community United.